Last week we finished up the sermon series looking at lust, looking at the throughout the series we were looking at both the biblically valuable versions of lust and the often discussed biblically the self-focused aspects of lust that get in the way. Today we wanted to receive communion and wanted to take the time to really think about and take some time to allow ourselves to receive, to lay down our lusts and to take up the desires of God. And I wanted to look at this passage that really, that I think for myself, when I think about this topic, it's my go-to. It's what I wanted to save for communion. This is from Galatians. This is Paul writing to the church at Galatia in Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 16. He starts this off by saying, walk by the Spirit. Now, it's just the first part of a sentence. And if you were just reading through, it'd be really easy to gloss over this, sort of to look past it. But I think it's the key to everything else that's going to be said. The whole sermon series for me was moving towards this idea of how do I walk by the Spirit? This idea of walking by the Spirit is, it's almost like a catchphrase. It's something you could be like, oh, that just sounds like a churchy phrase. But there's a lot that's packed in it. And I want to just quickly remind us how we could walk by the Spirit, some tools that are given us to do that. The first tool is that we immerse ourselves in Scripture. We talked about the difference between approaching the Bible with a childlike attitude of receiving and like allowing the text to speak to us as if we are we're trying to receive exactly what it's giving us, versus coming with an agenda and trying to make the Bible say what we already believe is true. This is fundamentally there is no movement towards walking in the Spirit that starts with trying to get God to agree with you. That is the exact opposite of walking by the Spirit. And so the first thing that we have to do in any discipline that we are, anything that we practice as Christians, from confession to reading the Bible to prayer, must start with an attitude of, I believe that I am the one that needs saving. I no longer want to be Lord of my own life. I want to understand what it could be like to walk by your Spirit and not by my Spirit. So in order to immerse ourselves in Scripture, we practice what we call exegesis, that's pulling from Scripture rather than reading into it. When we are reading Scripture, it's helpful to have something. I really recommend having like a study Bible. For instance, I started using an ESV study. So I use a lot of tools to do sermon prep with, right? But I've noticed I'll use a lot of the tools, and then I'll go to the ESV study Bible, and I'm like, dang, they got like 80% of all that work that I did right there. It's a really powerful tool. And it's, so for instance, just with this phrase, walk by the Spirit, note related to that. It says, walk by the Spirit implies both direction and empowerment. That is, making decisions and choices according to the Holy Spirit's guidance and acting with the spiritual power the Spirit supplies. So that note is correct. That phrase, walking by the Spirit, isn't about being empowered by the Spirit, but it's being in the direction of God. I thought that was a really helpful note. And to walk in Scripture regularly, all through Scripture, represents a pattern of conduct of all of one's life. I just thought that was a helpful. So if I read that text and I read these notes afterward, it helps to flesh out and make me fully aware of what it's like to read, to let the passage speak to me when I use these notes that are in a study Bible. That would be something that I would think would be helpful to us if we want to walk by the Spirit, to immerse ourselves in the text and just have simple tools like a study Bible to help us pull out of it better instead of reading our biases into it. The next point is fasting and manual labor. And I'm coupling those together because these are disciplines. These are examples of disciplines that are helpful in denying ourselves. Like when you are fasting, when you're giving up food, or when you're working yourself to exhaustion, you're putting yourself in a position of denial, of emptying yourself out, breaking yourself down. That's a good position from which to hear from the Spirit. I am in, with childlike faith, putting myself in a position to understand and receive the Bible. And I am denying my body, my physical wants, some ways. Not that there's a, like, you can fast for non-scriptural reasons. You can work out. You can do work for non-biblical reasons. Like, you could, there are benefits and reasons to do those things that have nothing to do with the Spirit of God. But these are things that can be helpful to deny ourselves if we intend to receive the Spirit of God. So there's nothing magical about them on their own, but they put us in a good position to, it's like a, the right stance from which to approach the Spirit and to be moved by the Spirit. And the third is solitude and silence. Receiving the Scripture, emptying ourselves out, and then just being still. Just stopping for a while. These three movements together are disciplines that the church have practiced for a long time to help put us in a position that we are walk, that we are able to walk by the Spirit, to daily pick up the cross, deny ourselves, and to follow Christ. I'm receiving the Word of God humbly. I'm emptying myself out, and then I'm being still. For me, the question that I ask myself, that I'm thinking of as I am, like, I'll do that. I'll do these things. I'll sit silently, and then I'll ask God. I just ask him, what do you want? And it's not like, what do you want? It's like a curiosity. Like, what do you want? You know, I have tried all kinds of things. They're like breath. There are kinds of, all kinds of things that you can say or not do, things you can do to help put yourself in the position to hear God. For myself, I'll just be honest. That question has been the most helpful to me. It gets me out of like, I don't ask, what do you want me to do? Or what is it that, it's nothing about me. I just am curious about God's desires. It is remarkable how consistently my life changes when I do this. My spirit, it changes. So I just want walk by the Spirit. That's not a throwaway line. Okay. Let's look at the rest of this. Walk by the Spirit, and you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. If you unpack that and, like, you don't just, like, gloss over walking by the Spirit, but you actually take that seriously and take steps to walk by the Spirit, you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature, it wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. Here, Paul is setting up these competing desires. They're the self-centered lusts, the ones that end and terminate in me, and they're the desires of God. They are radically different. The Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out the good of your own intentions. We are born into sin, and our spirit is constantly mouth deformed into desires that undermine my ability to desire what God desires. And Paul says these are constantly at war with each other. He said, this is the outcome. If you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Something in this is like a field, like a range of things. Sexual immorality. We talked about this last week, the whole umbrella of different sexual immoralities. Impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery. We can unpack that, but hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like this. You get the sense, like, the last thing I want you to do is be like, well, it didn't include this thing. You know, like, yeah, it totally, that thing fits in this range of things, okay? Whatever that thing is you're thinking, these things are obvious. They fit in that range. Let me tell you again, as I've said to you before, and this line cuts me to the quick, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Fundamentally, if I am pursuing my desires, I have made myself God. I have decided that my desires are animating my movements. I am deciding that my desires are my ultimate goal. I am moving to myself as God. He's not saying like God's going to punish you, like God's going to like, he's going to do this to you if you don't follow him. You have already decided who you're following when your desires are your end. Your kingdom is you. Your kingdom is not the kingdom of God. And you are building your kingdom as you pursue your desires. That's the kingdom that you're living in. But, my favorite but in the Bible. But, the Holy Spirit that we walk by, that we like wake up every day, and we don't take for granted, and we think like, yeah, I want to submit to the will of God. I want to deny myself. I want to sit still in the presence of God and hear what he has to say. That Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives instead. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It makes you a brand new person. In teen group, we talked about what it means to be an impressive person. This is it. You only get there by walking in the Spirit. There's no law against these things. You can pursue this. If once you attend towards walking in the Spirit, you have a type of freedom you can't possibly have when you're walking towards your own desires. You are absolutely free to pursue these desires. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. He couldn't be any more gory or graphic about what's going on in our spirit as you move from yourself as God to him as God, your own personal kingdom to the kingdom of God. You are taking those desires and you are butchering them. You are putting them out there and you are leaving them in the sun to bake. They are dead to you. Every day you're waking up and nailing those sins to the cross. Since we live by this Spirit that we're pursuing daily, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. If you want to talk about what the good news is you have a need to be rescued from your desires, and you have a Savior that has rescued you from those desires. You are not simply saved from hell, you are saved from sin by Jesus Christ. And when you participate in the crucifixion that he demonstrated, when you crucify your desires to the cross and you are raised again in his desires, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, you're a new creature. You're a new man. You're a new woman. You're free. When the Spirit is leading in every part of our lives. This is a daily process. Every day I wake up, every day we wake up as Christians, we die to ourselves, we pick up our cross, and we follow him. This morning, we wanted to take communion. Communion is a symbol of receiving Christ into ourselves. That's an act of saying, Jesus, I remember you bodily, physically crucified for me, dying for me, giving up your body, giving up your blood for me. I receive your crucifixion. I receive your offering. I'm taking you into myself. I am also dying to myself and becoming this new creature. I remember you. I remember you this morning. This morning, we're going to have the scripture up on the screen. I want you to try to just read through it three times before you come up front. Just read through it up on the screen. Ask God what he wants. Just ask him what he wants. And then when you think you kind of are a little bit aware of what he wants, I want you to come down and receive him. Take it back to your seat, and you can keep reading. For me, I'm going to keep reading the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. I'm going to read that over and over again in my mind as I'm receiving communion. Does that make sense? Okay. Read the text three times. Come up, take it, go back, and remember the fruit of the Spirit as you're receiving Christ's body. Okay? Let's pray. Father God, the stakes are very high this morning, Lord, as we deny ourselves and we receive full communion with you. Lord, we humbly appreciate your generous forgiveness, the grace that you constantly show us, your deep desire to live in fellowship with us. You're very good. And this morning as we receive you, Lord, we do it humbly, but with an intense and deep joy. Lord, a joy based on a grace that we couldn't live without. We love you. Amen.